Radio Comedy Podcast.
Welcome to episode 19 of season 5 of the Old Radio Comedy Podcast. Today's two broadcasts are the January 14th, 1945 episode of the Charlotte Greenwood Show, Moving Furniture, starring Charlotte Greenwood, Charles Cantor, John Brown, and Edward Arnold, and the September 9th, 1940 episode of the Burns and Allen Show, George Owes Money, sponsored by Hormel. Sit back and enjoy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show.
Welcome now to our show. Here's a friend you all know. Charlotte Greenwood is with us again.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Charlotte Greenwood is brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday at this time by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards to remind you that on birthdays, on anniversaries, and every time you want to remember someone, you'll find a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say the way you want to say it. So when you choose a card, look on the back for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Like the word sterling on silver, those words, a Hallmark card, means finest quality. Mean that you've cared enough to send the very best. And don't forget, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And here is our star, that lovable lady of stage and screen, Charlotte Greenwood. Charlotte became an heir of the Barton estate. Everyone thought she'd come into millions, and she did. Millions of problems. But the Barton estate consists of run-down property and three neglected children, and it's Charlotte's job to run them all. Right now, it's nearing midnight in the old Barton mansion, and Charlotte's taken time off a regular long-distance call to her manager, Roger Humphrey in Hollywood. She's saying...
Yes, Roger, that's what I said. And the bathroom's in this house. When you turn on the hot water, you get cold. And when you turn on the cold, you get hot. When you turn them both on together, guess what you get? That's right, the plumber. Only he doesn't come for 3 days, and by that time the water's up to your ankles. Still, I always say a good plumber's worth waiting for. Yeah, this house is a well-built house. It's not like some of those California houses made out of chicken wire and Kleenex. Yeah, I know California houses are not to be sneezed at. One good sneeze and all you've got left is a vacant lot. Oh, I'm enjoying taking care of these plays. Yes, I love the cooking and the sweeping and the scrubbing and the working my fingers to the bone and getting no thanks for it. Yes, just like being married. And besides...
Charlotte, where do you want these things?
What's the matter? Just a minute, Roger. Mr. Anderson is here helping me get these things straightened around. What is it, Mr. Anderson?
This bust of Shakespeare that you had me bring down from the attic. Where do you want it?
Well, hold it till I'm through the phone.
But it weighs a ton. When will you be through?
Well, I told you in an hour I'd be through in a minute.
Oh,
hello, Roger. Are you still there? Fine. Bye.
Now, look, will you hurry and tell me where you want this bust?
Well, hold it a while. You and Shakespeare look so cute together.
Cute?
No, there's such a resemblance. Did anybody ever tell you you look like Shakespeare?
Oh,
really?
Mm-hmm. You really think so?
Mm-hmm. Well. Yes, your heads are almost exactly the same shape, only yours is thicker.
Oh, now look, for the last time, Charlotte, will you tell me where to put this
thing? Now let's try it on the piano.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There. I'm going to sit down and rest a minute.
Now, wait a minute. Now, before you sit down, now, What do you think I ought to do with that high boy?
Why don't you give it away to somebody you don't like? Or is this another valuable antique?
Well, it's a kind of in-between. You know, it's too old for a poor family. It's not old enough for a rich one.
Well, there's always the furnace.
Still, it might look all right if we move it back in that corner. Or would it?
Oh, make up your mind. Make up your mind.
Yes, I'm positive it would. I think.
All right, all right. Stand out of my way and I'll drag it over there.
Up to Daisy. Is it heavy?
Oh, no, no. I just stopped to take my deep breathing exercises. I forgot them this morning.
Well, let me help you with it.
Never mind. Just keep out of the way, please. How's that?
No. I'm afraid it doesn't look well over there after all. Would you mind dragging it back?
Oh, not in the least. The only difference between me and a horse is that a horse wears a collar.
But, Mr. Anderson, you're wearing a collar.
Yes.
Huh? Wait, I've got an idea.
Well, treat it gently. It's all alone.
Yeah, we'll put it over there where the low boy is. Now, we'll just switch the whole thing around.
Oh, all right. You take the low boy and I'll take the high boy.
And I'll be in Scotland before you.
Now, don't tell me you're moving this to Scotland. Oh, why do I get involved in these things? I've got a newspaper to get out.
Well, you run along home now. You've earned a night's repose.
I didn't know repose was so expensive. What do I do with my hat and coat?
Well, they're out in the front hall. Shall I get them for you?
Oh, no, I'll go with you. I can still walk. A little. Oh, there they are.
Here, I'll hold your overcoat for you.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. 1 o'clock. Didn't think it was so late. Well, good night.
Good night, Mr. Anderson, and thanks for your help.
Kind of a dreary evening out. See, aren't you a little nervous living in this big house all alone?
I'm not alone. Robert Barton's asleep upstairs.
Well, but if anything should happen, what good would a 12-year-old boy be? When are the other two Barton kids coming home?
I don't know. Nobody seems to be quite sure where Jack and Barbara are, not even Judge Cronin.
Half the time, that stuffed shirt isn't any too sure where he is. Well, I'll see you tomorrow afternoon.
Bye, Mr. Anderson. And thanks. You're always so sweet. Oh, dear, I left all the lights in the living room going. I'll be in Scotland before you. That's funny. I did not leave that French window open. Whoever's behind those drapes had better come out. I said you better come out.
Okay, I'm coming out.
And you might also close that window. Fasten the latch. And if you don't want to be seen from the street, you better switch off just the ceiling lights. Okay. Now you can sit down, Jack.
How did you know I'm Jack Barton? Oh, I know. Bobby told you after all, didn't he?
Robert didn't tell me anything.
Ah, don't give me that.
It's pretty plain, son, that you are Jack Barton. Jack's 17 years old, not just about your age.
Well, there are a lot of 17-year-old people in the world.
Another thing, you were able to fasten that window latch. It's been out of kilter. But you knew just how to make it work.
Well, what about it?
You knew right where to switch the lights off for the ceiling. You've been in this room many times before.
Okay, so I am Jack Barton. I guess you must be Miss Greenwood.
Yes, I'm Miss Greenwood. Now, why didn't you come in the house long ago instead of hanging around outside?
And what makes you think I've been hanging around outside?
You must have been. If you talked to Robert, he's been in bed since 8 o'clock.
You're pretty smart, aren't you?
I'll pass the pretty. I still can't figure why you came through the window instead of the front door.
That's my business.
Unless you plan to get in and out again without my knowing it.
And what if I did? You can't stop me anyway.
That's right.
I came to pick up some clothes and things. I'm getting out of Lakeview, catching a 4:30 bus.
Well, you still have a couple of hours. Where are your things? I'll help you pack.
You'll help me?
How about some food? Are you hungry?
No, I haven't got time.
Well, I slip a pretty fancy flapjack.
Flapjack? Well, yeah, I guess I could go for some flapjacks. Haven't eaten since morning.
Well, didn't they feed you wherever you were?
I've been over at Mound City and I... Say, you're not kidding about letting me go. You won't try to stop me.
Why should I try to stop you? A fella 17 years old is able to make up his own mind.
Well, I have made up my own mind. I gotta get going.
Jack, why do you want to go?
Because I'm in a tough spot.
Oh. You can't make up your mind about a girl.
No, it's not a girl. I had an accident with my jalopy.
Oh, and you're running away because of that? Why, gracious, if I ran every time I had a little accident with my car, I'd be in a tracksuit most of the time.
Well, this wasn't just a little accident. I'm in real trouble.
Well, do you think you can get away from trouble by running off? It won't work, son.
Well, why won't it work? Why won't it?
Because trouble doesn't come from the outside of us. It usually comes from the inside. No matter how fast or how far you run, you never can get away from yourself.
Nah, that's just talk. Just a lot of talk. I know what I'm doing. I've got to get out of Lakeview. There's a fellow looking for me, a fellow named Gregory. And if he finds me...
Who's Gregory?
The guy whose car I ran into in Mound City.
And you think he'll find you here?
Sure he will. He's bound to.
Well, what makes you imagine he won't find you someplace else?
Well, I...
Or do you keep planning on running away all the rest of your life?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, now look. Instead of trying to dodge Mr. Gregory, you phone him and ask him to come here tomorrow morning.
Ask him to come here?
Yes. Talk things over with him. Make some arrangements to pay him for the damage that you've done.
Oh, no, no, that's out. I've paid him all I can pay. I've already given him the $30 I got for my jalopy.
You sold your jalopy?
Yeah, and I still owe him $270. Where am I going to get it? Where could I raise that much?
I can't answer that. But one thing I do know. Nobody ever escaped paying an honest debt. If you get out of paying it one way, you only have to pay it another. And sometimes with a lot of interest. That's as true as night follows day, son. Well, come on, let's have a go at those flapjacks. What do you say, huh? Yes? Oh, good morning, Jack. Come on in. You know, I was just wondering if that piano wouldn't look better over there against that wall.
He's here, Miss Greenwood.
Huh? Who's here?
Mr. Gregory.
Oh, where?
He's waiting in the hall. Said he'd rather talk to you.
All right, I'll go down and talk with him.
You'll stick by me now, won't you?
Mm-hmm. There isn't going to be any trouble at all. I'm sure he's a reasonable man. Wait there. I'll call you if I want you.
Good morning. Good morning. My name's Gregory. Jack Barton phoned and asked me to call.
Yes, I know.
And you, I presume, are Mrs. Greenwood, his guardian?
Well, no, I'm not his guardian. I merely take care of the house, and it isn't Mrs. Greenwood, it's Miss Greenwood.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're sorry. Now, what happened to your car? Jack didn't give me the details.
Oh, it's really a trifling matter, Miss Greenwood. Nothing at all to worry about. That is, for anyone as well off as Jack Barton.
Well, you know, as a matter of fact, Jack Barton isn't as well off as some people imagine.
Hmm? Oh, I see what you mean, that wealth is really a worry.
A great worry, especially to those who haven't got it.
How true, Miss Greenwood, how very true. Then you'll sympathize with my position because I wasn't born with a golden spoon in my mouth. No, I began life as a poor farm boy in tattered overalls.
That's interesting. You're the first person I ever met who was born with overalls on.
Oh, but really, oh. That's very good, yes. That's really very good. But what I mean to say is I'm a self-made man.
Yes, well, I'm a self-made woman, but I think I might have done better by letting out a contract.
Yes, that's very good, too.
Yes. Well, let's not talk shop. As I understand it, Jack ran into your car?
Yeah, quite correct. I was parked at the curb when Jack and a crowd of his friends swung around the corner in his car, skidded into me. My own car was badly wrecked.
Oh, that is too bad.
In fact, my car is still in the garage. However, I brought along an estimate of the repairs if you care to look at it.
Yes, yes, I would. Now, left front fender scratch, broken windshield, right fender damaged, mm-hmm. Body dent, right front tire torn, bumper...
Yes, and it all comes to just $300.
Yes, I see. And Jack's already paid you the 30.
That's right, mm-hmm. Leaving a balance of $270.
Well, naturally, Jack will settle that, too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Miss Greenwood, thank you. I was certain I wouldn't have any difficulty.
Mm-hmm. Only you'll have to give him just a little time.
Time?
Yes, time to raise the money.
Now, wait a minute. This thing happened nearly a week ago. I'm getting tired of being shoved around.
Nobody's trying to shove you around, Mr. Gregory, but Jack can't pay what he hasn't got.
Now, you listen to me. Don't hand me that kind of a line. The Bartons are rich.
The Bartons aren't rich. I thought we'd settled that point. Even to pay you the $30, Jack had to sell his car. And if you know what a car means to a boy, you'll realize the sacrifice he's already made.
Oh, sacrifice that boy. I'd certainly hate to have Jack on my hands.
Yes, I know. You want to get your hands on some Jack.
Now, look here, Miss Greenwood. I want my money, and I want it now.
Yes, well, he can't get it for you now.
Oh. Well, would you rather see young Barton land in jail?
Oh, that's nonsense. Wrong as he was, you can't put him in jail merely because he owes you some money.
Oh? Well, maybe this is more serious than just owing me some money. Yes. You see, my wife was sitting in the car when Barton smacked into it. For all he knows, she's hurt because he didn't stop. That's hit and run.
Hit and run?
Yes. Yeah. The criminal offense. Now, if you want me to forget that part of it, you'd better scrape the money together. I'll be back for it this afternoon.
It's 2 weeks now since most of us made our New Year resolutions. Perhaps it isn't too soon to check on how well we're keeping them, particularly that good resolution to stay in close touch with friends this year. For although wartime separations may bring loneliness, heartache to many of our friends, yet we can help make them happier through everyday kindnesses, through remembering them frequently with cards. Your Hallmark dealer has cards appropriate for practically every occasion you can think of. Distinguished cards for weddings, anniversaries, or for welcoming that precious new arrival. You'll find the clever card you wanted for wishing someone a happy birthday, and gay cards to bring cheer and a get-well wish to friends who are ill. Yes, and even if you simply want to tell someone I'm thinking of you, you'll find a card for that, too, at your Hallmark dealers. Because there's always a Hallmark card to say just what you want to say the way you want to say it. Hallmark cards are on display at America's finest stores. Just remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Charlotte's good intentions have led only to more trouble. She persuaded Jack Barton to stay and face Mr. Gregory, and now it seems as if the damages to Mr. Gregory's car aren't the only issue. For Jack may be confronted with a hit-and-run charge. Later that morning, in the lobby of the Winfield apartment...
Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roams.
Is Judge Cronin at home?
Oh, hello there, Miss Greenwood. Oh, careful, careful. The floor is wet and slippery. Just finished scrubbing it.
I thought your specialty was running the elevator.
Oh, I do all sorts of things around here. They call me the human steam engine.
Oh, because you work so hard?
No, because I'm always whistling. Got you that time.
I can see you're a man of many talents.
Oh, you ain't kidding. Look, besides running the elevator and taking care of the lobby, I mind the furnace, sweep the halls, tend the switchboard, do repair jobs, and run errands.
Why, that doesn't leave you much time for your Boy Scout work, does it?
Well, I have plenty of spare time. Mm-hmm. Don't have to be on the job till 5 o'clock in the morning, and by 11 o'clock at night, I'm all through. Yeah, sure. And the best part of it, every Saturday, $6.
What do you do with all your money?
Oh, you know how it is with us sporty fellas. Easy come, easy go.
Yes, sir, money goes very fast, but it doesn't go very far.
Oh, you can say that again. What with everything getting higher and higher, about the only thing that ever comes down is the rain.
Then you get soaked.
Huh? Oh, get soaked. Hey, that's a pipper. You're a dilly, yes, sir. Oh, look, it's about lunchtime. How about you and me toddling over to the Palace Soda Shop and slipping 2 straws into a milkshake?
Without a chaperone? Couldn't think of it.
Oh, well, then, how about splitting a sundae?
Junior, that's what I like about you. You never give up.
Hey, boy.
Oh, hello, Judge Cronin.
Hello, Miss Greenwood. Sorry I hadn't time to talk now. I have a very important lunch appointment.
Yes, I know.
What are you doing here?
You know.
Well, how do you happen to know about my lunch appointment?
It's with me.
I guess, huh?
Don't you remember I phoned you this morning?
You mean... Oh, Judge, I forgot all about you.
Yes, I know. Men always do.
Oh, and here I've made another appointment that I can't break. Well, we can talk for a minute now. Oh, boy.
Yes, sir?
Yes, I mean you. I left some important papers on my desk. Run up to my apartment and get them. They're in a large blue envelope. Now, hurry, hurry.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Large blue envelope?
Yes, yes.
Harry, come on. Swing on up, Junior.
All right, sure will. Watch out for that scrub bucket.
What did you want to see me about? If you're trying to wheedle money out of me, the answer is no. I'm putting my foot down.
I mean, you're putting your foot in it.
Oh, gosh, look what up to. Look at that. And look at my gaiters. Oh.
Look, now, besides, I don't want to talk about money. I want to give you $270.
I positively do. Give me? $270? You're giving me?
Now, not to keep. Now, I want you to turn it over to Jack this afternoon.
Jack?
Yes, let him think it came from the estate.
Jack Barton, he's home now?
Yes, but he's in a little trouble. He ran into a man's car.
Oh, wait a minute.
And the man said it was a case of hit and run. Jack doesn't pay the damages to the man.
Wait a minute. So Jack Barton is in trouble again, eh?
I don't know anything about a game.
I do. This isn't the first time such a thing has happened, but this is the time he'll have to accept the consequences himself. I will not help him.
I'm not asking you to
and
help him.
And I won't permit you to help him either. It's time he learned he can't go through life buying his way out of difficulty.
Oh, now, Judge
I'm
Cronin.
Sorry, Miss Greenwood. I'm very sorry. I'm not a harsh and unreasonable man, but I've warned Jack again and again. Had no result. Perhaps the best thing for him is a good lesson. You can go back and tell him that.
No, I won't go back and tell him that. I talked him into staying here and facing this situation. I got him into this. Now I've got to get him out. Somehow. Oh, it's you, Mr. Anderson.
Oh, what's left of me? Mm. I'm so stiff and sore from juggling that furniture last night, I can hardly move.
Cheer up. That's really a blessing in disguise.
Well, if it is, the disguise is perfect. Oh, my back.
You've learned a valuable lesson. Your muscles need toughening. You should start taking setting up exercises.
What? The shape I'm in? Well, I can barely stand.
Well, then take your setting up exercises sitting down.
Well, that's good to hear. Now, look, I don't need any exercises.
Oh, that must be Mr. Gregory.
Who's Mr. Gregory?
Oh, no, it's Judge Cronin. Hello, Judge.
Good afternoon, Miss Greenwood. And how are you, Anderson?
Well, Judge, to tell you the truth, I'm a little stiff.
So you finally admit it, eh?
I've been... Hey, just what do you mean by that?
I mean that you have always
now,
been...
Now, boys, don't start that bickering again.
Well, if you think I'm taking anything from that stuffed shirt...
Stuffed shirt?
Just because he had enough influence to get a judgeship.
Let me tell you something, Anderson. I got my judgeship by plain hard work.
That's absolutely
and
right.
And I held it by plain hard work.
That's absolutely right.
Well, how did he get to be a stuffed shirt?
By plain hard work.
That's absolutely right. No! Are you telling him that I am a stuffed shirt?
Yes, Charlotte. Can't you keep a secret?
No secret. I mean, it is a secret. I mean, no, that's wrong. Don't stand there.
Boys. Oh, boys, really, you ought to be ashamed of yourselves. Acting like a couple of spoiled children. You're not fooling anybody. You each pretend the other one's the nitwit. But underneath it all,
yeah,
you're both right.
Miss Greenwood, this is all irrelevant and immaterial. I didn't come to see either one of you. I want to have a few words with Jack Butt.
Jack Butt? Is he home now?
Yes, but he's at school.
Well, I don't... School? He is?
Mm-hmm.
Why, he hasn't gone to school for months. That's really quite extraordinary.
Oh, by the way, Cronin, did you see my editorial on the school system in this morning's paper?
Oh, yes, yes, and very good, too.
Well, I'm glad you liked it.
Who wrote it for you?
Who read it to you?
See here, Anderson, I do not like the tone of your voice.
What'd you expect, chimes?
Boys, oh, boys, quiet. Heavens to Betsy.
Well,
come in.
Miss Greenwood?
Oh, it's Mr. Gregory.
I'm glad I found you.
This is Judge Cronin and Mr. Anderson.
How do you do?
Mr. Gregory.
How do you do? I'd like to see you alone, Miss Greenwood, if I could.
Huh? What for?
That's all right, Mr. Gregory. You can talk in front of these gentlemen. They're friends of mine.
All right, but if you're counting on their help, you'd better forget it, because I've got this business all wrapped up.
You know, somehow or other, Mr. Gregory, I've already taken a dislike to you. Isn't that strange?
Well,
Now, Mr. Anderson, Mr. Gregory is simply here to collect some money.
That's right, $270.
Oh, so he's a man.
What man? Miss Greenwood, I expressly forbid you to put up one penny of your own money for this.
I don't intend to, Judge Cronin.
I'm not particular whose money it is, just as long as I get it, and I'm going to get it.
Now, Mr. Gregory, Jack Barton is only 17 years old, going on 18. And at that age, boys, all boys, are a little reckless, a little more willing to take chances than some of us older people.
So what?
I think we can be rather glad about it. I think we can afford to overlook some of their faults. Especially right now when the world owes so much to boys just like that.
You're wasting your time. Young Barton smashed up my car. He came speeding past and swung into me while I was parked at the curb.
Properly parked?
Yes, properly parked. And if you want to get legal about it, I've got a witness. The doorman at the picture theater saw me park. And he saw Barton sideswipe the car while my wife and I were in the show.
Oh, then your wife wasn't in the car. Well, that seems to throw a different light on your hit-and-run story.
Well, I've still got 270 coming, and I want it.
Yes, I know, and I've been studying this estimate of repairs. There's an item here, dented left rear fender, that's $3. Jack will pay you the $3 tomorrow.
Dented left rear fender?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'll grant the damage to that left fender was Jack's fault.
Oh, you'll grant?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he completely smashed my right fender. He tore off my right front tire.
No, he didn't do that. You got those damages some other way.
Hmm?
Because if you were properly parked, the right side of your car was next to the curb.
Well...
Hey, that's right.
And Jack's jalopy would have had to pass you on the left, you see.
Well, sure. He couldn't possibly have sideswiped the right side of your car.
Why, of course that's right. Absolutely right.
Yes, figure it out for yourself, Mr. Gregory.
Well,
Go on. We're listening.
Well, I guess I must have made a mistake. I overlooked a point in this case. Yes, I think I'll be going.
Well, just a moment. There's another little point to be settled. The $30 that Jack paid you, we'll expect that back?
But... Yes, and I'll see that he does pay it back.
You tell him, Judge.
You may not have thought of it, Gregory, but that's obtaining money under false pretenses. This sort of racket must be stopped. You'd better call at my chambers in the courthouse tomorrow.
Yes, and now, Mr. Gregory, may I show you the door?
But I...
You better get out quick, brother, before I show you how to get rid of a heel with a toe.
Imagine trying to pin it on that boy.
Yeah, well, I'll say one thing. Charlotte certainly made a donkey out of him.
Oh, Mr. Anderson, no lady ever makes a donkey out of a man. She merely gives him the opportunity to follow his natural bent.
It's a lie.
Now, boys, let's start moving some furniture. What do you say?
Greenwood will be back in a moment. Meanwhile, I want to remind you again, the next time you buy a card for any occasion, look on the back for the identifying words, a Hallmark card. H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K. A Hallmark card. Like sterling on silver, those three words are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Yes, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And now, Charlotte Greenwood.
Friend, I wonder if you ever stop to think how little a word of encouragement costs and how much it's worth. Telling a person you believe in him will often give him greater belief in himself than a complete course in how to have self-confidence. There may be times when you might be tempted to get discouraged yourself, but there's never a time when you can't give encouragement. And now, until next Sunday, at the very same time, this is Charlotte Greenwood saying, so long, friends, until we meet again. So long, neighbor, till next Sunday, I'm just saying. So long.
So long. The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show, with music by Charles Hathaway, his orchestra, and the Hallmark Chorus came to you from Hollywood. This is Wendell Niles speaking. This is the Blue Network.
From Hollywood, the George Burns and Gracie Allen Show for Hormel and Spam.
Crazy people. Spam, rebop, boom, spam. George Burns and Gracie Allen are the show when it's orchestra. They're singing glee with a smoothie three. Last but not least, and with the heathen.
We have an answer to that age-old question, what can I give the family for breakfast? Serve Spam and Eggs, a breakfast surprise that is completely satisfying and so easy to fix. Just open a can of Spam, cut off thin slices of this delicious meat, and fry quickly in a hot pan. With eggs sunny side up, those tender, juicy, sizzling hot slices of Spam are sure to please every appetite. Isn't it true the only reason you use a certain kind of food is because it's good and good for you? Friends, you'll find both delicious taste and top-notch quality in Spam. A perfect blend of pork shoulder with ham meat added. Pre-cooked to preserve all the natural juicy flavor of these choice cuts of meat. Seasoned according to Spam's carefully guarded formula, this grand-tasting meat of many uses makes a hit cold or hot. Ask for Spam, S-P-A-M, when you shop tomorrow. Serve Spam and Eggs. And then try the other easy recipes on the label. And here they are, your two Spam ambassadors of fun, George and Gracie.
Well, thank you very much. Am I happy tonight?
Oh, you should be, George, winning that $200,000 breach of contract suit against Elsie Trelefair.
And boy, did I celebrate.
See, you know that judge took me home after the trial, and he tried to kiss me, but I wouldn't let him.
Try to kiss you?
Yeah, he must be a pretty good lawyer.
What makes you think so?
Well, all evening he kept trying to break my will.
Gracie, that happens to be a very fine judge. Did you know that he's greatly feared on the bench?
Well, I don't know about the bench, but he certainly scared the life out of me in the rumble seat.
Anyway, I'm very happy that the case is over. Let's forget it.
Yes, George, it must be quite an ordeal to have the arm of the law after you.
Oh, that's nothing. I had it around me.
What a feeling that was. To get to a court and find out the man I hit with the car is the judge who was trying my case. And as soon as I saw him, I got 5 years older.
Oh, good, George. Now you can start collecting your Social Security.
Nice going, bud.
Oh, thank you. Well, running into the judge was nothing to worry about, though. It was just a little accident.
Nothing to worry about? Do you know what you can get in Los Angeles for hitting a pedestrian?
Yeah, a driver's license.
Well, anyway, I want to thank you all for being my character witnesses.
Saben que yo estoy muy orgulloso del señor Burns por la manera.
Yes, I get it, I get it. Fine. Marty, what's Senor Lee saying?
He was proud of you at the trial when you took the offensive.
Oh, well, thanks, Senor Lee.
In fact, he says you were the most offensive man in the whole courtroom.
That's right.
If that Artie Shaw doesn't keep that guitar player quiet, he's going to find a pink slip in his envelope.
George, I don't think Artie Shaw wears a pink slip.
Of course he doesn't wear a pink slip.
I know something that you don't know.
Artie, what's the matter with that Senor Lee?
Well, he's unhappy about his job.
Well, if he's unhappy on Saturday night, why don't you give him a little extra?
A little extra wouldn't make him happy.
Well, your little red-headed extra from Paramount would.
Gracie, that's only a platonic friendship.
Should happen to me.
Senor Shaw, why don't you introduce me to her? She's very cuticle.
Cuticle? Hey, Don Juan, let me give you a little bit of advice. Women are slow poison.
I'm in a hurry.
Did you know that I had less trouble in court last week than I'm having here?
Oh, you should worry, George. You saved $200,000.
What $200,000?
Boy, if I had that kind of money, I'd spend $199,999.95 for spam.
What's the other nickel for?
Call up the grocer in case I run out.
I thought so, yes. Well, stop with that $200,000. Gracie, you know I haven't got that kind of money.
Oh, what about your salary each week?
What about your hat? What are you laughing at?
I don't get it.
Why does everybody pick on me? Am I always going to be a fall guy? Am I such an awful dope? Am I ever going to mean anything on this program?
Is he? Tune in next week and find out.
Oh, fine. Well, I'm going down to write out that check for $25 for court expenses, which will clear up that Elsie Tralifaz case once and for all.
Don't pay it.
Don't pay it?
No.
Today is the last day, and if I don't pay it, I'll be sued for contempt of court.
My friend Millard Beyer will fix it for you. Don't pay it.
Millard Beyer?
Yes.
Who's he? Probably some small-time fixer.
Small-time? He only happens to be on the crime commission.
The crime commission?
Sure. Every time there's a crime, he gets a commission.
But look, Gracie, it's only $25.
Don't pay it. Millard will fix it for you. I'll phone him.
Well, what can I do?
Oh, let me see now. Where can he be? Oh, yes. Operator, give me the Cotton Club, New York City.
New York City?
Hello? Cotton Club? Is Millard Beyer there? Oh. That's swell. That's good. That's wonderful.
Gracie, this is costing a fortune. Is Millard Beyer there?
No, that's grand.
Wait a minute.
What's marvelous?
What's grand? What's marvelous?
The music of the Cotton Club. Want to listen to it? It's swell.
Give me that phone. Now this movie, Bad Charlie Little will sing I'll Never Smile Again. Calling New York City to save $25.
George, so if you take
Gracie,
my
I don't want to hear any more about Millard Beyer. That last call cost me $19. I've got to pay this $25 court expenses. Today is the last day, so stay out of it. Now, wait a minute, Gracie. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I know you were trying to help me. Oh, forgive me, Gracie. Now I feel awful. I feel like a skunk, a scoundrel, a rat. Gracie, will you please forgive me?
I'm not crying about that.
No? What are you crying about?
Did you see that picture, Rebecca?
That was very sad, but will you stop crying? I still haven't sent the check.
So, George, before you do that, let me make one more tiny little phone call to Millard.
Well, all right, but no New York.
No.
Number, please.
Give me Gladstone 1131.
That's better.
Montreal.
Montreal?
Montreal, Canada speaking. I want to speak to Millard Byer.
How do you spell the first name?
With difficulty.
Did you say Hillard Byer?
What?
Did you say Hillard Byer?
No, Millard Byer. M as in Millard, I as in Millard, L as in Millard, A as in Millard, R as in Millard, and D as in Dave.
Here's your copy.
Hello, Dave speaking.
Dave? How do you spell it?
D as in Dave, A as in Dave, B as in Dave, E as in Elmer.
Hello, Elmer.
Hello, Dave.
What's going on here?
Where's Millard?
Take it easy.
He's out with Slavko Vorkapitch.
How do you spell it?
S isn't Dave, Ellis.
Look, will you hang up? Hang up!
That call will be $152.
Charge it to George Burns.
$152? Give me that phone.
Who's this?
This is George Burns.
George Burns of the radio?
Yes, George Burns of the radio.
I never miss you.
You don't miss me?
I don't hear you and I don't miss you.
Thanks. Gracie, so far it cost me $171 to save $25, and I just...
George, I just thought of something. You saved $200,000 in that Elsie Trelefast case, and if you'd like to go into business with me...
Look, I don't want to go into any business. I'd like to pay my court costs. Today is the last day.
George, you better go into some business, because the way the income tax is today...
What do you know about income tax? What is income tax?
Well...
Yeah, what is it?
The way it works is the government takes your salary.
Yes.
That's it. The government takes your salary.
You said it.
George, you don't have to invest all that $200,000.
I've got $200,000? Who believes that? You know, I spend a few dollars.
Who believes that?
It costs me $50,000 a year to live.
It isn't worth it.
It is worth it.
Who believes that?
Look, will you people stop worrying about me?
Senor Burns?
I've got my own troubles, you know.
Senor Burns?
I've got to send that check back.
Hey, Poopsie!
Stop calling me Poopsie! What is it?
Senor Burns, if you want to go into business, why don't you buy a string of racehorses like Bang Crosby?
It's not Bang, it's Bing.
Bang.
Bing.
Bang.
Bing.
Bang.
Bing.
It's 4th of July?
Anyway, racehorses are not Crosby's business. That's his hobby, horses.
And they run like hobby horses.
Now, stop. I've had enough of this. I've got to make out that check for $25. Today is the last day.
But, George...
I don't want to be helped anymore. Gracie's silly phone calls have... They've already cost me $171.
$320.
$320?
I did it again.
You did it again?
Honolulu.
You called Honolulu?
Millard Byer wasn't there.
And what cost all that money?
Well, I spoke to a hula dancer, and you know what gossips they are.
Hula dancers are gossips?
I never saw such busybodies.
Gracie, I owed the court a few dollars, which I was very happy to pay. And now I owe the phone company $320.
$480.
$480?
I'm going to do it again.
You're going to do it again?
Give me the phone.
Get away from that phone. Get away from that phone. Gracie, get away from that phone. Sound man, will you open the door?
4 years in Harvard, and this is what I do for a living.
Everything happens to me.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Don't you remember me? I'm your brother, Willie.
Oh, sure, I remember you. I'll send you the $20 at the end of the week.
Well, I thought maybe if I made up a joke, you'd make it 30.
Willie, look, will you go home? Go home.
I have a very funny joke. Have you got a sleeping tablet?
Why, have you got a headache?
No, that's not the joke. You're just supposed to say why, and then you hear some stuff.
Well, all right. Why do you want a sleeping tablet?
I've got a date with a dream. No?
No.
Don't forget to send me the 20.
Okay, goodbye.
By the way, Goldie's little boy got a gold star for being a monitor.
That makes me very happy. Goodbye. Look, sound man, the roof of the building will cave in with those door slams. You know, they're a worse job than being a sound man.
Mr. Burns, my friends will be very glad to hear that.
Good.
You see, one of them wrote a treatise on technocracy. Another one discovered the new element thermalin. Another one of them won the Phillips Prize for Chemical Research. And they've all invited me to the annual outing of our honorary society.
And I suppose they're ashamed of you being a sound man.
They are.
Then why did they ask you along to the outing?
I am the only one who has a car.
I better write out that check before it's too late, or where's Gracie?
I'm here.
Gracie, are you still on the phone?
Please. Hello? What? What's that you say? Billy Byer isn't there?
Gracie, why are you speaking so loud?
Well, you gotta talk loud when you talk to Egypt.
Egypt? Doesn't this Millard Byer ever go to Pomona or Long Beach?
Sorry, Millard Byer isn't here. He left for the West Indies. Have you tried Bahamas?
Yes, I've tried Bahamas. But they're very uncomfortable to sleep in, don't you think so?
Oh, no. That's an extra $20, that blow on the phone. Gracie, this is costing me a fortune. Will you hang up?
That will be $700 for 3 minutes.
Charge it to George Burns.
$700? I won't pay it.
George Burns won't pay that money. He says it's an outrage. He says you've got a lot of nerve, and where do you get that stuff?
You just spoke another minute. It's $900.
$900? Give me that phone. Operator, it's bad enough to charge $700 for 3 minutes without charging an extra $200 for a minute of explanation. You can't charge $900.
You just spoke another minute. It's $1,100.
$1,100?
Give me that phone.
No, you don't. $1,600 to save $25. What a phone bill.
You don't have to pay it.
What do you mean I don't have to pay it?
Well, I know somebody who can fix it. Operator, give me Newfoundland.
Get away from that telephone. Get away from it. Shaw, his clarinet and orchestra playing Begin the Begin. You know, it was Begin the Begin that made Artie Shaw, and it was Artie Shaw that made Begin the Begin. Of course, that was back in 1937 when Begin the Begin began.
Thanks, George. Now can I pass the plate?
What plate?
The one that's loose in your mouth.
My brother Willie must have made up that joke.
Operator, operator, are you sure Millie Byer isn't there?
Tracy, are you still on the telephone?
Oh, please, George. Operator, have you tried his igloo?
Igloo? That's in Alaska.
Well, sure. It doesn't cost $700 to call Glendale.
$700? Give me that phone.
George, while you've got some money left, you'd better go into business with me before it's too late.
Look, in the first place, bud, I'm not going into business with you. And in the second place, you're in a business.
What business?
Selling spam, remember?
Why, George, I'm surprised at you. Selling spam isn't a business, it's a pleasure.
Oh, I was naughty again.
There you were. Well, folks, you've all been amused by the stories your children have brought home about their experiences at school. But here's a letter from Winnetka, Illinois that sort of tickled us. The reason is obvious, as you'll discover in a moment. The writer said, "My youngster in the third grade insisted on extra spamwiches in his lunchbox. After a few questions, I found out why. When the youngsters trade sandwiches at school, a spamwich has a trade-in value of two ordinary sandwiches. Now, I don't know how many deals are made each day," the letter concludes, "but I thought you might like to know how children regard spam in our neighborhood. Well, mothers, have you tried spam for school lunches? Youngsters go for this delicious meat in a big way. You see, in making spam, Hormel uses the choicest cuts. Pure pork shoulder with ham meat added. All ready to eat as soon as you open the spam can, this tender, juicy meat saves you time. Whether you fix the school lunchbox or the youngsters come running home at noon, spam is wholesome food that sticks to the ribs and satisfies the children's taste. So make spamwiches for school lunches. The directions, along with other cold or hot uses, are right on the label. When you shop tomorrow, ask your food dealer for Spam, a Hormel product.
Slice it, dice it, fry it, bake it, cold or hot, Spam hits the spot.
Slice it, dice it, dice it, slice it. No matter how I slice it, I'm still on the ground. Fine thing. To save $25, I now owe the phone company
$3,200.
$3,700.
$3,200. $3,200.
$3,200.
I know something that you don't know.
You did it again.
Tahiti.
Tahiti?
I phoned during a hurricane.
Mildred Byer wasn't there.
Neither was Tahiti.
Gracie, some dark night when nobody is looking...
George, you don't have to worry anymore.
I don't.
Now, I'm not going to make any more phone calls.
Oh, well, at last.
I told the long-distance operator to spare no expense and for her to locate Millard Byer.
I see. That's much better. Look, Gracie, some dark night when nobody is looking...
Hello? South Africa calling. We have information concerning Millard Byer. $500. Collect.
Charge it to George Burns.
I'm nicely going bankrupt.
Copycat.
Quiet.
Here's your party.
Thanks.
Hello, America. Stanley speaking.
Have you found Millard Byer?
Millard Byer? I'm still looking for Dr. Livingston. Goodbye.
Well, it cost me $500 to find out that Stanley is still looking for Livingston. Come in.
Mr. Burns?
That's right.
I'm from the sheriff's office. I have a warrant for you for failure to pay your court expenses.
Court expenses? You mean the $25 I've been trying to pay all evening? Well, here it is.
I'm sorry, brother, but it's too late now.
But, mister, I always pay my bills on time, don't I, Artie?
That's right, mister. He always pays my salary on time.
You see?
50 cents down and the rest on time.
Now, look,
I'm sorry. I'll have to take this warrant. It's Judge Hamill's orders.
Judge Hamill, that old fogey...
Just a moment. Judge Hamill is the best judge in this county.
Next best.
What do you mean, next best?
Of all the judges in the county, he next best.
Well, mister, I'm not going to take this warrant because I had every intention of paying the $25.
Senor Sheriff, don't worry. Senor Burns has an honest face.
Really?
Honest, that's a face.
Now, look, I'm not going to take that warrant.
Well, you'll have to.
Well, give it to me.
Gracie, you can't tear that up.
We certainly can.
Tearing a warrant, eh? Well, mister, you'll be fined $1,000 for contempt of court.
Oh, yeah? Well, George knows Millard Byer who can fix it for him.
Someone who can fix it, eh? Well, that's bribery. That'll cost you another $1,000.
I didn't say anyone was going to fix it for me.
Now, denying it, eh? Well, that's perjury. That'll cost you another $1,000.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Did you ever hear of me? I happen to be George Burns of the radio, and I get $5,000 a week.
For what?
For being a comedian.
Taking money under false pretense. Well, now you are in trouble. I'll see you in court.
Well, Gracie, I can thank you for all of this.
Oh, it was nothing. I'd do it for anybody.
Instead of paying $25, I wind up paying $25,000.
Hello? This is Zanzibar calling.
Zanzibar?
Is the Miller buyer there?
No, he left last week for Mandalay.
Mandalay? Where's Mandalay?
Where the dawn comes up like thunder out of China, cross the bay.
George, it's a George Burns.
Give me that phone. Give me that phone. And I don't want any more phone calls. Don't touch that phone.
Well, it might be Millard Byer.
I don't care. Don't touch that phone. Well, never mind. Just say I'm not in.
Hello? What? Who? George Burns? Oh, I'm sorry. He's not here. Goodbye. Mm. Oh, you should have answered it.
Who was it? Millard Byer?
No, it was the Pot of Gold program.
The Pot of Gold?
Easy way for you to get A-plus from your children on the school lunches you fix. Serve Spam. This grand-tasting meat makes a hit with active children who want food with a swell flavor, food that fills you up. You'll like Spam because this satisfying meat is all ready to eat as soon as you open the can. Just slice Spam and make Spamwiches for the lunchbox. Or serve plain with a vegetable, bread and butter, and milk if the youngsters pile in on you at noon. Let Spam, S-P-A-M, solve your school lunch problems. Ask your food dealer for Spam, and be sure to try the easy recipes on the label.
Well, thank you, Bud. Well, Gracie, say goodnight.
Goodnight. Judge, are you going home?
No, I'm good and sore. $25,000 for phone calls.
Mr. Burns, you've got no reason to be sore. You had a swell show tonight. I watched it from the first row.
Well, who are you?
I'm Millard Byer.
Good night, folks. Good night.
Again next Monday night, same time, same station, for another George Burns and Gracie Allen show with Artie Shaw and his orchestra and the Smoothies. Until then, this is Bud Easton reminding you to remember that cold or hot, Spam hit the spot.
Be sure to tune in next time, my friends, for another classic comedy radio show. I'm Greg Fordyce.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.